Good morning and Merry Christmas. My name is Nathan and I work for Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds. It's great to have you engaging with our online service, whether that's on Christmas Day or at another time during the festive period. As we come together and meet in this way, I think it's important that we recognise that this isn't any of our first preference. That if I were to have asked you at the start of this year how you would be spending Christmas, I don't think that any of us would have described the reality that we're facing. And yet, our hope for this time together is exactly the same. That as we turn our attention to God the Father, as we remember the first coming of Jesus Christ, we want to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for myself and for us all together. And so I'm going to ask God to help us with that. That as we engage with the different parts of the service, that we'll be open to whatever it is he wants to say, do, or challenge us with. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask that you would help us as we turn our attention to you and we remember the first coming of your Son Jesus, that we would be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Ed and Sophie Borrett now as they lead us in song worship.
Thank you. Today we are going to light the 5 Advent candles as we remember Jesus was born and is the light of the world.
In recent years at Cornerstone, it's been our custom to support the work of St. George's Crypt on Christmas Day. And although we can't do that in exactly the same way, we still want to show and express our support to the crypt, especially in this, their 90th year. And so before we watch their Christmas appeal video, I want to challenge you with some trivia questions about the work of the crypt last Christmas in 2019. Is it true or false that the crypt provided 1,147 bed spaces during December 2019? 1,147 bed spaces. Is that true or false? The answer is false. They actually provided 1,148 bed spaces. And so, is it true or false that during December 2019, the crypt provided 1,814 free lunches? 1,814 free lunches during December 2019. It's true. And that averages around 95 meals a day. And finally, is it true that during December 2019, 1,410 hours were given by volunteers at the crypt? 1,410 volunteer hours at the crypt during December 2019. It's true. The crypt does an incredible work in the city of Leeds. And as we watch their appeal video, I'd encourage you to open your ears and open your minds and open your hearts to all that is shared.
Hello everybody, and thank you for allowing St. George's Crypt into your service today. We're now in the period of Advent, and in my book, that's never too early to wear a good Christmas jumper. I want to talk to you today about where St. George's Crypt is during the Christmas season, and how this year of COVID and all the restrictions that brings has affected the charity, and how we've managed to cope throughout the year. When you think of Christmas, what do you think of? Do you think of lovely roaring fires, carols round the piano, opening presents, masses of food, groaning tables? All those kind of things are the epitome of what Christmas has become to a lot of people. For some, Christmas can look like this. Cold, alone, ignored, and the most hurtful of all is to be ignored. Here at St. George's Crypt, Christmas is about bringing people into the warm, offering good, wholesome food, clean clothing, showers, and most of all the love from us and from God on high, who is central in all we do, living the Gospels, walking beside people, and welcoming our brothers and sisters into the warm. This year, we should be rejoicing and celebrating our 90th year in the centre of Leeds, providing a 24-hour wraparound service, making sure everybody gets everything they could possibly need to set them on a new life and a new road out of homelessness. During the COVID pandemic, things have been very different. Our ability to raise funds in the community has been impossible. And this has been managed by taking things carefully and being really good stewards of everything we have already. Finally, a great big thanks to everybody who does support us, who is willing to support us and is going to support us for the first time. That means 2021 happens as far as St George's Crypt is concerned. We will keep the lights on. We will keep central heating on. We will have gas in the ovens to cook for hundreds, if not thousands, of people in need of a good hot meal. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It's an exceptional time. I'm trying not to use the word unprecedented, but there it slipped out. We really do need help. So please, may God bless you and keep you this Christmas. May his love shine upon you, and may you remember the love of the Christ child, who was born into poverty, homeless, and with nothing. Happy Christmas.
May your life be blessed this Christmas. May your home be blessed this Christmas. May you be blessed as you remember the birth of God himself come to earth. May you be blessed in your generosity, in your giving, and in your receiving. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and those whom you love, this Christmas time and always. The song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone,
when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock.
The work of Christmas begins to find the lost,
to heal the broken, to feed the hungry,
to release the prisoners,
to rebuild the nations and place music in the heart. Merry Christmas.
Before we watch that video, I encourage you to open your ears, your mind, and your heart to the work of St. George's Crypt. And now, I want to encourage you to open your wallet, to give financially to the work of the Crypt. We're going to create a moment for you to do that. A QR code will appear on the screen that, once scanned, will send you to the St. George's Crypt website. You'll be able to donate there. If you don't have a QR code reader on your phone, then you can simply visit the website that will be listed underneath. We want to show and express our support to the Crypt as they show and express practical support to the most vulnerable in our city. Once there's been a moment to give financially, we'll then be led in sung worship again, and then we'll have prayers by Peter Morden, today's Bible reading from a few from the youth small group, and Caroline Heward will share a Christmas message with us.
Thank you. Well, a very happy Christmas to you all. Let's come to our good and gracious God in prayer. Lord, we praise you for the gift of Jesus this Christmas time. Thank you for the wonderful hope that this brings to us. Lord, we pray that the hope that we have in our hearts, you would help us to share with others, with family, with friends, with neighbours, with colleagues, whether it's in person or whether it's over Zoom, whether it's on the phone or whether it's part of a walk. Help us to share your hope, even Jesus, the light of the world, with others. Thank you for the ministries that we've been involved in as a whole church in the run-up to Christmas. Thank you for the Salvation Army toy appeal and the toys that were distributed to about 260 children in Bramley. Thank you for the work of Caroline, Ed and Sophie and Hannah and many others who have given. Lord, we pray that those toys would bring light and life and love and hope this Christmas time. And today, Lord, we thank you for the work of St. George's Crypt in Leeds. Thank you for the way that they have reached out to the most vulnerable for 90 years. And this year, thank you that over 10,000 beds have been provided, 12,000 plus showers have been taken, 65,000 plus hot meals have been prepared and cooked and eaten. Thank you for this tremendous mercy ministry. And we lift before you also the work of Lighthouse Church in Leeds, attached to St. George's Crypt. And we pray for John Swales and his team and the ministry that they have. Lord, we thank you for all that we can be involved with as a church, as individuals and together. We look back on 2020 with mixed feelings, but we thank you that you have been with us on the journey. And we look forward to 2021, perhaps with mixed feelings as well. Lord, right now for us, for our families, for our friends, pour your hope into our hearts, the sure and certain hope that comes from knowing you, Lord Jesus, as our Saviour and Lord, not just as the baby at Bethlehem, but as the great teacher and as the great Saviour, the one who dies and rises again for us, the one who is coming again for us. Thank you for the wonderful truths of the Christian message. Flood our hearts with them today. We praise you, we worship you, we give you thanks that you are a God of hope, that you are a God of light. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.
Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.
This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told them about this child.
And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Well, happy Christmas, everyone. Yes, the big day is finally here. We have our decorations up here in the Hewitt house, as you can see. I've got my Christmas jumper on. And if we're going to pretend I'm speaking to you live, my turkey is in the oven and my house is smelling great. The reality is I filmed this a few days earlier, so the turkey is yet to arrive. So fingers crossed, Marks and Spencers are good to their word. And you can see it's actually it's only actually the afternoon, but it's dark already. So here I am speaking to you on Christmas morning, but being filmed a few days earlier. We are celebrating Christmas Day today. We are celebrating Christ's arrival in the form of a baby. Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us. For some of you, you may be feeling like this is pretty much like every other Christmas Day that you've had in the past. And for others of you, this might be a very different Christmas Day to the one you are used to. For me, this is very different because for the past 16 years, I have spent Christmas Day in a Salvation Army building, being around people. Since we opened Copper Beach Hub in Bramley, we have opened our doors every Christmas morning for a late breakfast where we share some yummy food, we play games and do crafts together, and simply just be with one another. So to be here at home is very different. In the past few days, I have been able to share with people on their doorsteps as I've dropped off cards and gifts. And for many this year, in the words of one lady that I spoke to, 2020 has been like walking or ploughing your way slowly through treacle. For some, 2020 has been one long, hard slog. And so it's important to stop and to reflect at Christmas time. Every year during Advent, as Christians, we reflect on the words hope, peace, joy and love. And in fact, on Copper Beach Hub, even though our building hasn't been open to the public, those four words are displayed in a window display at the front of the hub. And when Peter put me on the rota to speak to you today, before I thought of a Bible reading, I really felt that God put two words on my heart to share with you today. And those two words are hope and joy. For me, Christmas morning is all about hope being fulfilled in Jesus coming to earth, which brings great joy. And that brings joy to the characters in the Nativity, but it also brings great joy for each one of us living in 2020. I have picked three Bible passages for us to look at to help us look at joy and hope. We're going to look at Isaiah 9 verses 2, Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7, and then looking at Luke 8-20, which is the passage of the shepherds and the angels. In the Isaiah passage, hope is promised through the coming of a Messiah. In Luke, that hope is being fulfilled through the birth of Jesus. And from that birth, which happens in a very unglamorous stable in quite tough conditions, joy overflows. The joy of Mary and Joseph, the joy of the angels, the joy of the shepherds, and the joy of those who heard that good news. And so we too can receive that same joy this Christmas. A hope promised. In the past few months, as I have been watching the news, I have found myself frequently reflecting on this word hope. According to Google, hope is an expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. As a world, we have been for the past 10 months living in hope. Living in hope that the scientists will be able to find and develop a vaccine for COVID. And what a wonderful day we had back on the 8th of December when we watched Margaret Keenan and many others receive their vaccinations. The images on the news that day filled me with hope, and it was wonderful to see that first vaccination was not given to a politician or a member of the royal family, but to a very ordinary lady, No one famous, just someone like you and me. That gave me real hope. It gave me hope that soon we will all have a chance to have that vaccine, to be invited to have that miracle shot in our arm. And it gives us hope that we soon will be able to return to life as we know it, and also to be together again. 2,000 years ago, the people of Israel were a people of hope, a people of waiting. Waiting with an expectation and a desire for the promised Messiah to come and save them, a promised Messiah. Christ was hoped for, and his birth and his time on earth brought hope. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote about a promised Messiah. The Jewish people longed to be saved. They wanted their land that God had given them to be restored, for their time in exile to be over. And in the time that Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah, Israel were living in a time of darkness. They had no power, no land, and for some of them, perhaps, no hope. And it's in this context that Isaiah declares this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This is a verse of hope. It's a promised hope of something that is to come. And a few verses later, Isaiah says this. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. On the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, upholding it and establishing it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This is the foretelling of Jesus' arrival. This is the foretelling of a king, a Messiah, a Prince of Peace who was coming. He was going to come and save God's people, and he was going to reign over David's kingdom. This is a passage of promised hope. What an amazing promise God had given his people. He was telling them that the way they were currently living their life and experience in life wasn't always going to be this way. He was promising to save them, and he was promising them justice and a kingdom that would have no end. And so God's people waited and waited for their promised saviour. And then one night in a stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem, that promise came into being. Hope was fulfilled. The Christ, the Messiah, was incarnate. God himself took on the form of a baby and was born into very humble circumstances. God came down not as a politician, not as a powerful king, but he came down to earth in the form of a small, helpless baby and became just like us, born into a very normal family. John's gospel account does not tell the nativity story, but in his prologue to his gospel, John says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Message paraphrase puts verse 14 like this. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. I love that image. God taking on the form of a human being, being born just like we are, and then came into earth and lived in poverty. The Word, who brought creation into being, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood just like us. This event of the incarnation of Christ didn't go unnoticed. At that very moment, the heavens opened and the angels sang. In our reading from Luke 2, we read the story of the shepherds and the angels. We read about the praise and the joy of the angels that night, a heavenly host filling the whole sky, which led the shepherds to leave their post, which they would have got in trouble for doing so, but did anyway. They left their hillside and they rushed into Bethlehem in search of the baby the angels had told them about. The Bible tells us they hurried off. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to go and see for themselves what they had been told. The joy of the angels was infectious, so much so that everything changed in that moment for the shepherds, and they had to go and see for themselves. The shepherds were not the most highly thought of in their community. In fact, they were the lowest in their society. And as they ran down that hillside, they did run the risk of being turned away when they got to the baby. They ran the risk of losing their sheep to the creatures of the night. They ran the risk of not being believed when they spread word. But we know none of that happened. Mary and Joseph welcomed them in as they gathered around the manger and they worshipped the Messiah. Having seen Jesus, they spread word concerning what they had been told about the child and what they had seen for themselves. Interestingly, people didn't reject the account of a few smelly, uneducated shepherds as they told them what they had seen. People saw the joy on their faces and they listened. And the Bible tells us all who heard were amazed. From hope being fulfilled, joy emerges. Joy naturally bubbles out and over at Christmas. We only have to look at some of the words in our favourite Christmas carols to see that. The joy of the angels was infectious to the shepherds, and the shepherds' joy was infectious to those they told about the special baby. After they had visited, having gone and told all they could find, the shepherds returned back home, back to their work, back to their lives, and the Bible tells us they did so, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. I wonder how infectious our joy is of the good news that we receive this Christmas and every Christmas. The leader of the Salvation Army in the United Kingdom, Commissioner Anthony Cottrell, says this: joy is at the heart of Christmas because real joy comes from the presence of Christ. This gift beyond words, his presence in the world, and now his presence within us. The carol tells us, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. I want to leave you this Christmas morning with one final Bible verse, and it's taken from Romans 15 and it's verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you on this Christmas morning, despite what circumstances you find yourself in, are filled with hope by the power of the Spirit, and you are filled with joy. May we be people this Christmas who can rise above our circumstance and worship God in the full joy he offers to each one of us through Christ. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Yeah.
thank you for engaging with our online service today. Thank you to those who have been on the screen and those behind the scenes. As we've taken time to remember the first coming of Jesus, the hope and the joy that it brings, I pray that each of us would take up Caroline's challenge, that our joy would be as infectious as the angels. And perhaps now you'll take a moment to spread some joy. Maybe you'll send a text message to a family member. Perhaps you'll give a telephone call to someone who you know is on their own. Let's be joy givers and bringers wherever we go. If you want to find out more about Christianity, then we encourage you to contact us via our Facebook page, via our website, or maybe even now you'd like to join us in our Zoom room, where there'll be opportunity to share joy with one another. And if we don't see you in there, we pray that this day and the days ahead would bring joy and peace. Have a very Merry Christmas and a fantastic New Year. Amen.